Shall we pray? O Christ, prophets foretold your coming. The poor longed to see you. The heavens celebrated your birth. The apostles, the martyrs, and the faithful down through the ages repeated the song of the angels. Your church praises you in every human language, for she has seen your salvation. Son of God, you humbled yourself and became a servant, raising us up to share in your glory. We were in darkness, and you have given us light and strength, peace and joy. Lead us according to your loving will. Make us a people who follow you in holiness and righteousness. Give us generous hearts to hear your word and produce in us abundant fruit through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm wondering if any of you have ever heard of Philip Van Doren Stern. Anyone? He was the author of a short story titled The Greatest Gift, the story on which the movie It's a Wonderful Life is based. All of us know the story that Stern wrote because of It's a Wonderful Life. We know the story of George Bailey. It's become a Christmas classic. It's tradition to view It's a Wonderful Life around this time of year, and maybe even to ask a question like, I wonder, do I have a wonderful life? In the movie, George Bailey, of course, wants to give back the greatest gift. He wants to give back his life because he thinks his life is in a shambles. His business is failing. He has lost money that is unaccounted for. The police are looking for him, and he may be going to jail sometime. And he may be leaving his family in poverty and in shame. So he goes to his archenemy, Mr. Potter, who owns the savings and loan, and he pleads with him to give him a loan, a money loan, on his life insurance policy. Mr. Potter gleefully says, "George, you are worth more dead than you are alive." And thus, George Bailey decides that a jump from the bridge into the frigid waters would be the smartest thing so that his life insurance money would help his family. But God intervenes. He sends an angel. What's the angel's name? Everybody know? Clarence. And prevents George from taking his own life. George wants to give his life away. He wants to destroy it. But the angel intervenes and stops him. But George makes a statement in this one of the scenes with the angel that we're going to see in a moment. He says, "I wish I had never been born." And it made me think that this is the time of year when some people desperately say that same thing. So we're going to see a video clip of the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It's the time that George jumps in the river to save Clarence because Clarence had jumped in the river to save George.
Hey, what's with you? What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now just things like that. Now, how do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't worn my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I don't know whether I like it very much being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
Yeah. Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no, we don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting. Comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. And my... Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else, will
no,
you?
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Oh, this isn't going to be so easy. Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, right?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say things like that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, that'll do it. All right. You've got your wish. You've never been bored. You don't have to make all that fuss about it.
What'd you say?
You've never been born. You don't exist. You haven't a care in the world. No worries, no obligations, no $8,000 to get, no Potter looking for you with a sheriff.
Say something else in that ear.
Sure, you can hear out of it.
Well, it's a doggone thing. I haven't heard anything out of that ear since I was a kid. Must be that jump in that cold water.
Your lips stop bleeding too, George.
What do you know about that? What's happening? It stopped snowing out here, didn't it? Well, what's happening here? What I need is a couple of good stiff drinks. How about you, Angel? You want a drink? Come on, as soon as these clothes of ours are dry.
Clothes are dry.
I wouldn't know about that. The stove's hotter than I thought. Come on, get your clothes on. We'll stroll up to my car and get... I'm sorry. I'll stroll. You fly.
I can't fly. I haven't got my wings.
You haven't got your wings, yeah, that's right.
So when George says, "I wish I'd never been born," Clarence grants him his wish. And he begins to see the world, what it would be like if his life didn't influence the people around him. For instance, he finds out that his town has become a den of iniquity. He finds out that he wasn't around to save his brother Harry, so his brother Harry wasn't around to save others in the war. He finds out that his wife Mary ends up becoming a dejected and lonely woman. George Bailey's absence from the world he lived in got me thinking about what it would be like if someone else had never been born. Years ago, a book called If History Rewritten asked a number of intriguing questions, such as, what if the Moors had won the Crusades? Or what if General Lee had won the Battle of Gettysburg? Or what if John Wilkes Booth had missed Abraham Lincoln? Or what if Jesus had never been born? Jim Henry takes a stab at answering that question in this handout that's in your bulletin tonight. I want you to take it home. I encourage you to put it in your Bible or hang it on your refrigerator. Henry says, first, we would not know what God is like. From the beginning of human history, we've been hungry to know who God is, and God revealed what he is like by sending his son. That's why Isaiah wrote that God became Emmanuel, God with us. Henry also says we would have no personal victory. The shepherds near Bethlehem in Luke 2 that we heard Bob read about have been watching sheep that were to be taken to Jerusalem as offerings for sacrifices at the temple. So while the Lamb of God is being born in a manger, the lambs in the field were being prepared as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Had Jesus never come, there would be no salvation for sin. And then Henry says, last, we would have no universal victory. We look around and see despots and rulers and military regimes. We see injustice and poverty, and we wonder, will it ever be made right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jim Henry says this hasn't happened just yet, but it will. If Jesus had never been born, what would our lives be like? What would the world be like that we live in? Imagine the world without Jesus. I know there are some people out there who say the world would be better off if Jesus had never been born. But then Christmas, this holiday, would be nothing more than pine trees and presents and parties. Because the birth of Jesus, dear friends, really matters. I'm convinced that trying to celebrate Christmas without Jesus is impossible. He had such an enormous influence in the world and in human lives. He changed people's lives. The lame walked, the blind saw, the dead were raised. He ate with those of low status that the rest of the world had forgotten. He called to him men who were ordinary from all classes of society to be his disciples. He showed that human beings have dignity, that each one of us bears the image of God. The first hospitals that were built, that were founded in the Middle Ages, were as a result of Christian people, followers of this Jesus. Literacy was given to the common people so they could read the Bible, again, the work of Christians. Of the first 123 universities and colleges founded in this country, all but one were Christian in origin. The roots of modern science are in Christian discoveries. Women were given equal rights in this country because of Christ's teaching. And spiritually speaking, if Jesus had never been born, we would never realize the love of God. We wouldn't know the depth of God's love. We would remain in darkness. We would not be free from sin. We would continue to live in fear. Our salvation would never have come, and death would never have been overturned. Ralph Andrus says, "But Jesus did come to earth. He is the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Heavenly angels announced his birth, and the shepherds visited him." Jesus lived a perfect life, touched people and healed them, raised people from the dead, walked on water, fed the multitudes, died on the cross, rose from the dead, paid our debt of sin, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. Jesus listens to the cry of our heart. He loves us with an everlasting love. And perhaps most importantly, he forgives us. Once again, hear these glorious words of good news from Luke's gospel. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Christian friends, Jesus is born, and because he came, we can have a wonderful life. Amen.